open your Bible to Psalm 91. It's the most precious Psalm. Psalm 91. You know, I challenge you to memorize. Psalm 91. I have done it for many years. It's good for your soul. See, memorizing the Bible, even the young ones, memorizing the Bible is one of the best things you can do with your brain. Yeah? You see, there's a Bible verse in Psalm 119. Say, I have more understanding than my teachers because your testimonies are my meditation. So, practice memorizing the Word of God. And not just one verse. Sometimes just go for a whole Psalm 91 or a whole Psalm 121. It will encourage you and it will also stimulate your faith. And you need faith if you are going to have the victory in this world. Do I see the world? The world is corrupt and perverse. The world is never trying to draw you nearer God. The world is always trying to distract you away from God. And the best relationship you can have in life is not a relationship with a boyfriend or with a spouse or even with a parent or a child. The best relationship you can have in your life is a personal relationship, personal walking relationship with God, where you can hear God, you can speak to God, and you can hear God, where He can lead you to this life. He made you. Yeah? So He knows everything it takes for you to have a good life. He knows the way. Say, God knows the way. Hallelujah. He knows the way. And you know one about God? There's no partiality with God. There's no racism, sexism, ageism. What other isms? No discrimination. Yeah. Everybody has access. Amen. You cannot tell God and say, God, you know what? I'm not angry. I'm not happy with my friends. So don't speak to her. God cannot answer that prayer. Everyone has access to God. He's the most loving Father. No one can love like Him. Amen. Many times as humans, we love according to our emotions. When I feel good towards you, I love you. When I don't feel so good, stay away. But God, it's not about His feelings. It's His compassion that even in our worst state, He still loves us. You know, even the prodigal son, you know, when they come back, His arms are open to receive them. And He goes up and he kissed the fattest calf and throws the party because He told the prodigal son that wasted all His inheritance on careless living, but He welcomes him back with love. That's God. Hallelujah. So having that relationship with God and a working relationship with God is the best thing you can have. Amen. So Psalm 91. And of course, during this message, try not to be distracted by any form of social media or conversation. You know, just turn it off. Don't do it. Just make a matter. While I'm in church, during the sermon, no social media at all. Just focus on the Word of God, because the goal of the devil is to distract you. Refuse to be distracted. Say, I refuse to be distracted. Okay, Psalm 91. Who is ready? New King James, and thank you. I like that attitude. New King James and New Living Translation. Do one of them, and we have someone else.
I'm doing New Living Translation.
Yes.
Okay. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow of fleas in the day. Do not dread disease that talks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, the evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near you home. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them salvation.
Amen. Thank you very much. Let's have it another version, New King James Version. New King James Version, Psalm 91, verse 1 to the end. Yes, I get the mic. Please, just listen attentively, and I'm going to ask some questions that will help you understand. Psalm 91, verse 1 to the end, New King James Version.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Thank you very much. Now, you're welcome. You're welcome, all of you. God bless you. So, last time, that was 2 weeks ago, we talked about the secret place. And we tried to explain the secret place of the Most High, because it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. So if we do this, this will happen. And we said the secret place of the Most High, first and foremost, is himself, his presence. Amen. But the best place, the most secret place of God is inside him. You know, he said, Rock of Ages, clear for me. Let me what? Where? In thee. And to do that, you need to spend time in his presence. The secret of Moses is his presence. And then is his word. Because the word is, you know, who is the living word of God? Who is the living word of God? It's Jesus. So Jesus is God. You are still hiding in him by hiding in his word. And of course, the secret place is his spirit, his Holy Spirit. So my communion, my relationship with the Holy Spirit, my allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, is part of hiding in his secret place. When I disobey the voice of the Holy Spirit, when I disobey that inner voice, inner witness, I am not really hiding, you know, dwelling in the secret place. And of course, the other thing was his blood, the blood of Jesus. Amen? Revelation 12:11 says that we overcome sin by the blood of Jesus. Many times, people say the blood of Jesus, but I don't think they understand what it means. So let me ask you a question. What does the blood of Jesus represent? Why is the blood of Jesus so important? What is unique about the blood of Jesus?
I think it's classed as a covenant, commitment like Jesus did.
Covenant, commitment. Yes, I like that. Ma, I like it. Ma, what does Jesus' blood just mean? When you say the blood of Jesus, what does it mean? We see said it this one. Good. As a clue. Who's ready? I see said it during communion. By the way, if you miss communion, you can always walk up after and take yours. Yeah? It's for your benefit. Yeah.
The blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins.
Yes.
And it cleanses us. It washes us. It purifies us.
Amen. Amen. Let me explain that so that it will bless you. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. So that as from today, when you say the blood of Jesus, you understand fully what it represents for you, what it means. If you don't know what it means, you can't really get the full benefit. We were saying on Friday that if you don't know the meaning of the name of Jesus, even if you call that name, you cannot necessarily deliver for you the full benefit because you don't know what it represents. But when you know what it represents, you can believe for it. So Revelation 12:11, quickly. Who's ready to read it? Revelation 12:11. Yes? Then what else to continue? Revelation 12:11.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death.
Amen. Who did they overcome? They overcame Satan. In fact, in that same Revelation 12, it's called, not just Satan, it's called the fairy dragon. It's the original dragon. Yeah? Fairy. And it's called also the old serpent that deceived the world. Yeah? And it's also called something else. Please, can you just read from verse 9? Revelation 12. The context matters. When you're interpreting the word of God, you need to look at the context. Otherwise, you may miss it. Go on, please.
So the great dragon was cast
out. The great dragon was cast out.
That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan,
yep,
who deceives the whole world.
He's a deceiver, yes.
And was cast to the earth,
yeah,
and his angels were cast out with him.
Yes.
Then I heard a loud voice
saying, now listen to this, listen to this. Yeah, go on.
Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the...
Why did they say that? Go on.
For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.
Amen.
And they overcame him by the blood of the
Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb.
And by the word of their testimony.
Amen. Who are they overcoming? They're overcoming the accuser of the brethren. Amen. The way you're going to overcome the accuser of the brethren is, wow, through the blood of the Lamb. Because the blood of the Lamb speaks forgiveness. Amen. The accuser is saying, don't bless him. Don't do anything for him because he doesn't deserve it. He's done this, he's done this, he's done this, he's done this, he's done that. He's not doing this, he's not doing this, he's not doing this, he's not doing that, he's not doing that. But what do you point against the accuser? The blood of the Lamb. Amen? You have been redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're not redeemed because you merited it. Amen? You are redeemed because Jesus died and he rose again. Hallelujah. So, what the blood of the Lamb does for you is forgiveness. Now, the power of forgiveness is that when you have forgiveness, you can face the devil. You can't face the devil in your own right. You know, say, I did very well in my school. I passed my computer test. I have a big job. I work in Microsoft. You know, I'm in politics. In fact, I'm aspiring to be an MP for Basingstoke after Maria Miller retires. Because she doesn't retire, you have no chance. She's been MP forever. Amen. Yeah. No, you can't. You say, oh, you know what? I dress very nice. I'm always nicely dressed. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about you. And so when the devil sees me, respect me. You know, I'm a fine boy. Who's a fine boy here? Or a fine lady? Sometimes people carry that in their head. They think, okay, if I look handsome and look great, you know, the devil will keep the distance. You know, they think, well, maybe the devil only goes to, you know, fight with people, you know, who are living rough on the streets. No, sir. No, no. It's by the blood. And blood is the basis in which God wipes away everything that is written against you. Amen. That's how you overcome the accuser of the brethren. Amen. The job of the accuser is to pull down your faith. See, when you're feeling guilty, your faith cannot rise. And without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God. Amen. So, you navigate it through the blood. But how you activate the blood is, when you've done wrong, what do you do? What do you need to do when you've done wrong? You know, there are two options you have as a believer. Obey God. But because you are human, it is absolutely very possible for you to miss it and do it wrong. The other option is to repent. So I only have two things to do in my life. I only have two jobs to do in my life. What are my two jobs in life? Obey. And what? And repent. Oh, you like changing. Repent and what? And obey. That's all. And you keep the devil under your feet. Amen. So when you're doing wrong and you didn't repent, yeah, you're not activating the blood. So the devil can enter. But when you do wrong, don't stay there. Repent. Invoke the blood. Claim the blood. Amen? You're overcoming Satan. That's how you're overcoming him. Amen? But that's not all. The second one is the word of your testimony. Meaning that what you say matters. What you say what? Okay. Now let's go back to Psalm 91. Someone read for me verse 2. Psalm 91 verse 2. Someone else? Someone who has not read today? Let's see. Anybody read something? Psalm 91 verse 2.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust.
Amen. What will you do? Say that you
in Him will I trust.
What will you do?
I will say of the Lord.
They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by what? By the word of what? The testimony. If you are not going to put the word of God on your mouth, you will not enter the full victory. And you can quote me anywhere. Amen. The word of God, yeah, does not belong under your pillow. Amen. If you are fond of putting your Bible under your pillow as a means of drawing confidence, yeah, and feeling safe, I want to challenge you. Stop it. Stop it just because you want to declare that that's not where the power is. The power of God is in, or the word of God is in your heart and in your mouth. Amen. If you like, buy 10 Bibles. Put them all under your pillow, your duvet, under your mattress, around in every corner of your room. That doesn't mean any protection. That's just a decoration. Amen?
Amen?
The word of God has to be where? In your heart. That's your spirit. And in your mouth. How does the word of God get into your heart? Let's just review that. Where's the mic? Yes. How does the word of God get into your heart? I need the word of God in my heart and in my mouth. The word of God, yeah? Has to first go into your heart before it comes out in your mouth. If the word of God is on your mouth and it's on your heart, it's a recitation. Yeah? You're just saying it because Pastor said, let's say it. It has to be, because you see, it's with the heart that you believe. Please open your Bible to Romans 10. Now, remember, I was saying this at Home Fellowship on Friday. Challenge yourself to memorize Bible verses. That's why you can see. Many times when I'm preaching like this, yeah? It's not as if I prepared for everywhere I'm quoting. Because I've memorized it, the Holy Spirit just speaks them at will. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Yes, someone else? Yes, let's go to the young person. I'm always very happy when young people, you know, are active during the sermon.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. How do you believe? What do you need to believe? You need a heart. Amen. With the heart, what do you do? You believe. What is the job of my heart? All your convictions in life are in your heart. And that's why he said, someone comes in and say, I love you. Yeah, what is it? Or which should I use? Let me use a young person. Who's a young person? Someone says, I love you. Yeah? Then you ask them, say, is it with your head or with your heart? Now, let me tell you, someone who loves with their head, they like your height. They are still loving you with what? Their head. What they see. They like your hairstyle. You know, sometimes you go and spend 3 hours in the salon. I'm assuming you're a lady, not a man. If you're a man and I spend 3 hours there, you have a problem. you need another dip in the water and the blood. 3 hours in the sun, and you come up with nice edu. I like nice edu. Yeah? The best you can achieve is someone to love you with what? Their head. Your nice head, you can never make someone love you with their heart. Amen? But still do it. Nice head. I like nice head. It costs money, but I like it. Amen? You know? It may be beautiful. The best you can achieve with your beauty is that someone will love you what? With their head. They like what they see. They like what they smell. They like what they, what? What they can, what else? Perceive. Yeah. But when someone loves with you, your heart, that's conviction. That's belief. That's commitment. Yeah? Hallelujah. So with the heart, you believe. Someone cannot love you with their heart in one moment. They just saw you love at first sight. It takes time to believe. Yeah? Faith comes by. And hearing by. Before you can truly love someone with your heart, you have interacted with them. And you have come to a conviction. In fact, you can't really love someone with your heart, yeah, if you've not known them in their soul. Amen? Love is deeper than just sight. It's soul. It's conviction. Amen? Love is not just emotion. Love is what? Conviction. Amen? And when you love someone with your heart, whether in good times or in bad times, whether in their best state or in their worst state, you keep loving them. Amen? When you love someone with your heart, you stay faithful. Amen? It's a conviction. Amen? It's a conviction. If they are down, you are in it together until they are up. Amen? If they are up, you enjoy it together. You sacrifice, you go the extra mile. Yeah? Because you see that you believe. Say, I believe. With the heart, what? You believe. Then with the mouth, what do you do with your mouth? But you must believe first. So to overcome Satan by the word of your testimony, you must have the word in your heart. Amen? No word in your heart, no testimony in your mouth. Amen? So when Satan shows up and tries to attack you or pull you down, or in your circumstance, I always tell you, I say, there's no circumstance that is beyond the word of God. Usually, the problem is that we are not attacking it with the word of our testimony. We are attacking it with the word of our complaining and moaning. I've been there. Yeah? I find that some situations, yeah? Rather moan or complain. Just decide I'm not going to moan. It's not easy. It's not easy that you feel like moaning and you keep quiet. It's not easy. But I'm not saying you should keep quiet. I'm saying don't moan or complain. Instead, use the word of your testimony. Amen. Speak against it with the word. You're not speaking to a person. You're speaking to the mountain. The mountain is the problem. The mountain is the situation. The mountain is the sickness. The mountain is the disease. The mountain is the financial, mess, debt, whatever. You begin to speak the word of God to it. For example, if I'm in need, I need to find a way I need to get to a place where I begin to confess, my God shall what? Supply all my needs. According what? I'm quoting Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. According to his riches in glory. Maybe I find myself in danger, like danger of people, danger of harm, danger of assault of any kind. I can't keep quiet and just say, I'm dead. You're already dead. I don't wish you to be in a dangerous situation. But if you find yourself there, you are already there. Don't say you are dead. Because you don't want to die. Yeah? Go to Psalm 91. He says, for he will give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Right in that danger, I must say, the angels of God. It doesn't matter if people are around. This is your life. This is your safety. The angels of God are in charge over me now. Why am I able to do that? Because the Bible said it. Now, he will give his angels charge over me. So if I don't need to pray and say, God, give your angels charge over me. I'm repeating. That means I don't believe what the Bible said. I must now say it. I say, right now, the angels of God are in charge over me. Even now, they protect me. No evil will befall me. No plague will hit me now. You say it. Don't say it at the back of the enemy. When I say it like this, say it in the face of the enemy. Hallelujah. Someone says, oh, you know this thing that is happening to you now, you know, it may shorten your life. I say, but the Bible tells me in Psalm 91, the last verse. Are you there? Psalm 91 verse 16. Let's read it. There's the mic again. Thank you. Well, I'm looking for the mic. I find it. Psalm 91 verse 16. Yes? What does the Bible tell you about it?
With long life I will satisfy him.
With what? Faith is personal. It may not work for somebody else. Don't bother about them. Your spirit was put only inside one body. What does it? So what happens to another body does not affect what's happening to your body until you agree with them. For example, yeah? You could decide, okay, I'm going to sit. I think that's happened before. You would say, I'm going to sit over there. And then your son can say, I'm going to sit over here. You have two spirits in two different bodies. Unless you agree or you want to, then you sit together. Am I correct? They say, so if something happened to somebody that wasn't good, don't assume it will happen to you. If it's happened to 100 people, don't say you're next. Well, if it's a blessing, yes, yes. If it's a good thing, oh yes, I'm next. It's a bad thing, I'm not next. I'm a different spirit in a different body. I will say that my life is not shorting now. And my years are not reducing. I'm not signing up to it. Someone gave you that document and said, sign it. I'm not signing it. Amen? Then we can give you evidence and say, look, because of this, because of that, you know, sign it. No, 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 no. I give them a contrary evidence. Psalm 91 verse 6 says that with long life, I will what? Satisfy. So that means as far as God is concerned, regarding Pastor Ben, I don't know about you. Because you see, you think that every day, thoughts are going to your mind. You are making choices. You are making decisions. I'm not in control of those choices. You are choosing them. Yes, I'm your pastor. I'm preaching to you the word of God. But when you live here, you are going to make choices. And those choices will affect your life. Amen? Even if Jesus Christ was your pastor, you are going to make choices. Jesus Christ pastored 12 people, yeah? What happened to Judas? He betrayed him and hanged himself. Well, and who was his pastor? So whose fault was it that Judas hanged himself? Everybody likes to blame the pastor. He was making choices. He was stealing from the treasury. Is it in the Bible? He was making choices. Yeah. Who was the pastor of Peter? Who was the pastor of Peter? Jesus. So pastor came to Peter. Let's say, Peter. I have seen the revelation. You're not Peter. I was like, when I'm preaching, if you sit here or here, I'd like you to focus on you. And I'm not doing any evil, just me. Okay? So try. Somebody, if you never sat here, just try to sit here. And say, you have the maximum contact with me during sermons. Peter, I have a revelation. This night, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, no, never. Even if all of this stuff should deny you, I will never. Amen? I want you to understand something here. When Jesus told him that he saw that, it didn't mean it was inevitable. Because then, should we go there? Matthew 26. Open your Bible to Matthew 26. Say with me, say, I have a good memory. Oh, come on. This is a blessing. Say, I have a good memory. In the name of Jesus. That's a confession. You are fighting Satan. Amen. If Satan is afflicting your memory, that you're not going to win the battle just by praying. You're going to have to deploy the word of your testimony. You believe with your heart and you confess your mouth. I will say of the Lord, He is what? My refuge and my fortress. When do you need to say that? When do you need to say of the Lord that He is your refuge and your fortress? When do you need to say of the Lord that He is your refuge and your fortress? When? Sorry? Always. Anything specific? What specific situation will you find yourself and say, the Lord is my refuge and is my fortress? Think about it. In terms of?
Struggle and worry.
Worry, yes. Better answer. I'm looking for a better answer.
Fears.
In terms of what?
Fear.
In terms of when you are afraid, you need to say what? The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. That's how you're going to fight it. You're not just saying it because you like positive speaking. You read it in the Bible. You believe it with your heart. Then you have to deploy that word of your testimony in the face of opposition. Amen? Now, where did I say we should open to? Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, verse 41. There's someone who has not read today. I'm coming to you. Matthew 26, verse 41. Please read from verse 40. Matthew 26, 40 and 41. Someone has not read today. Yes, thank you. Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41.
Then he returned to the disciple and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.
Thank you. Now, let me just show you something. You see, when you spend time with God, yeah? Whether personally or in fellowship with other believers, your spiritual eyes begin to open. The Bible begins to have more meaning to you. Look at verse 34. Wait, let me just wait. Just wait. Wait. Let me see. Let me start you the story. From verse 31. Please read from verse 31 to verse 35. Same chapter. You are still in Matthew 26. You are reading the earlier part. Go on, please.
On the way, Jesus told them, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. No, Peter insisted. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same.
Amen. Are you with me? Who was the pastor of Peter? Jesus. Who is the best pastor there can ever be? Not Pastor Ben. I admit, I'm an apprentice under Jesus. Amen? Jesus, Pastor Jesus, is a great shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd. Told one of his workers, Peter, say, you temptation is coming. That's the meaning. He said, your temptation is coming. Peter will not just deny Jesus. He told you that even if he has to die, he will not. He's only under temptation. Yeah? Peter is boasting in the flesh. You know, in the spirit, he's in the flesh. Now, actually, you know what? I'm even better than all these people. Worst case, they will all deny you. But me, I won't. He was pretty confident. Yeah? The solution is not boasting in the flesh. The solution, yeah, is receiving strength in the spirit. Amen? You receive strength when you dwell in his secret place. Yeah? In his presence. In the place of prayer. We said that last time. Yeah? So imagine Jesus trying to help Peter. Please follow this story because it's so interesting. Huh? So calls Peter, James, and John. These are the top three of the 12. And of the three, Peter was the leader. Let's go and pray. Let's go and pray. And while Jesus was praying, what was Peter doing? He was online. Where's my mic? Peter was where? He was in online church. He logged in. His name was displayed as one of the participants. He was on mute. But what was he doing? He was sleeping. Yeah? That's just a bonus. And the Bible says Jesus prayed for an hour. We know that because he asked them, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? They now tune in and say, oh, you are sleeping. Watch and pray. So that you will not fall into temptation. How many times did Jesus tell Peter to watch and pray that night? 3 times. It happened 3 occasions. 3 hours. It's 1 hour each time. He goes back to pray for 1 hour. Come back. Are you still sleeping? Goes back. 3. How many times did Peter deny Jesus that night? So now, that's just a diversion. I'm just trying to say that your choices matter. What you do matter. To enjoy the blessing, to walk in protection, to walk in blessing. Yeah? You will need to open your mouth and say of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me point to one more thing. We're still going to do one more sermon on the secret place. Because basically I say you should memorize. You do try to. You can. Say I can. It's just 16 verses. And it actually flows together. I have memorized it many years. It's still there. Yeah? And sometimes you need to refresh it. It's good. This is a psalm full, loaded with promises for every part of your life. For example, living long. He said, with long life I will satisfy. That's why I'm afraid of people who say that, you know what? I'm happy if I'm 55, I'm happy. I've had enough life. They could die young. Because they're satisfied. And if that's what they want, no problem. Accept it with them. When they die, celebrate them. Rejoice, because that's what they wanted. Amen? That's what they wanted. God does not force long life on you. He satisfies you with it. Amen? So what does it mean to be satisfied? How can you measure that you're satisfied? How can you know you're satisfied? How do you measure that you're satisfied? When you're satisfied, how do you know you're satisfied?
Like you've had enough.
You've had enough. And you want no more. Anybody like, what's your best food? Anybody, what's food? Anybody like KFC? What do you like most in KFC? Is it just their banner or their
chicken strips alone?
Ah, praise God. Now, if I bring you a big bowl of chicken soup, free. Yeah, it's in Brazil. Just enjoy yourself. Oh. How do you know that you're satisfied?
Well, I'm keep eating unless my tummy says something.
Amen. People die because they didn't have a desire to live long. Oh, they want to live long. Don't believe that sometimes. But they did not fight for it. Because we have an adversary. You understand? Now, some people I know, they die suddenly, but most of the times, the word is about to kill someone will show up in their life before they die. Please understand what I'm saying. Like, something show up in your life, but the ultimate goal is that it wants to kill you 10 years later. But it shows up now. Yeah? What you do about it now will determine whether it kills you in 10 years or not. Amen? Are you with me? If you just, you know, do as if, you know, you just manage and you're just managing, it can kill you. Not that God did not love you. It's just that you did not rise up in your faith. Yeah? And stand against the enemy. You have to stand. Say, I have to stand. Against the enemy. And the ultimate enemy is Satan. He's a dragon. He's nice. It's only because he wants to do more harm. It's never good. Don't dine. I got it. Don't dine with the devil. Because it's never what? It's never good. If he's nice, that's all. He was just talking nicely to me. You know, I know he loves me because he was so nice. I just like him. He talks so kindly to me. He's a deceiver. He's what? He may find out 10 years later. Praise the Lord. So the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord. He is what? Is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him I will. How many confessions there? 5. You see 3, I see 5. Amen? I will say of the Lord. That's a confession. Yeah? Say, even who is going to boast, is you boast in the Lord. Don't boast in you. Boast in him, in his word, in his spirit, in his presence, in his blood, in his name. Hallelujah. He is my refuge. He is what? My fortress. He is my God. In him, I withdraw. Amen? When something that shows up in your life, looks like it wants to kill you, say, you know what? The first thing you need to say, when something shows up in your life, it looks like, oh, this thing wants to take me down. Say, I will. Psalm. I think it's Psalm 139. You can check that up later. He said, I will not die. But what? But I will live to declare the goodness. Somebody cannot declare for you. Declare it yourself in the face of the enemy. Declare with conviction. Declare what? With what? Conviction. We overcome him by what? The blood. And by what? By the word. By what? The blood and the word. On our mouth. Your testimony.